Very thankful to be with you here this morning, and I have some things that are placed upon my heart that I'd like to present. And of course, we know the Lord rule and will rule in all things. And about the prophets in the scriptures and throughout time, and being the revealment of the Lord, of course, to all mankind and to the people directly that it was going out to in times past. And I'd like to take a look at what the scriptures have to say about this. And first of all, that in John 17:8, and talking of Jesus, of course, he said, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." And Jesus is the very revealed word of the Father, the very essence of prophecy and revelation. All came forth from him. And the very, like I say, representative of the Father, he is the incarnate word, as it talks about in the very beginning of the book of John, and in the very beginning of the book of Genesis, as it proceeded forth from the Father, the very revealed word of God, a prophecy of revelation, being Jesus Christ. And so, of course, the course and sequence of events upon the earth and in among the children of men began, you know, in the book of Genesis. And I'm not going to go all the way from Genesis to Revelation, if you will, as far as all of the scriptures. So that certainly would take us a little time here this morning. But I wanted to start there. As you know, the prophets were sent forth of Jesus Christ in order to deliver messages of whatever necessity. And so in Amos, the book of Amos 3 and 7, that surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And we see these examples throughout the scriptures, and to what the Lord had designed for the people according to what was necessary at the time, to either direct the battle, to warn them of their iniquities, to tell them of the blessings of the dew of heaven, what the Lord would do to sustain them. But he would reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And the very revealed word of God that they talk about in 2 Peter. It says, "Prophecy came not in time of old by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The deliverance through the Spirit of God. And let's talk somewhat about even the condition of the person that would receive, you know, prophecy. We look at, you know, we ask for prophecy and direction, you know, in our lives and in our congregation and so on. And you look at the life of the prophet. You look at the hardships that they suffered. You know, we're going to take a look at one in particular, maybe, and maybe more than one. But, you know, the John, that was the forerunner of Jesus, his very cousin, you know, a leathern girdle, camel's hair, wouldn't eat locusts and wild honey, things like that. Very rough, humble lifestyle. That type of person. They were many times, they were persons of sorrow because of what they were receiving, what they knew was going to come to pass. The burden of the word of the Lord, and through that, Isaiah put it that way, the burden of the word of the Lord, you know. We look at the physical experience of John the Divine that was given the book of Revelation. And he was caused to what? What was it? Was he caused to eat? That would be in his belly as in his mouth as honey, and in his belly was bitter. What was that again? The scroll, absolutely. And we've, like I said, Isaiah what was it, Isaiah that laid for the amount of years of the iniquity of the people laid on one side, and he laid on his other side for that many days upon the earth because of the iniquities of the people. Being caused to tear open the end of the wall of the city to go out that way because of a likeness to what was going to happen to the people. But he revealed his secret under his servants, the prophets. And we have that very revealment today, even in the Book of Mormon. It's what we're going to read about coming. But regardless, there are those that have been prepared, called, and sent forth to declare the word of the Lord, to warn, direct, lead, bless, proclaim what the Lord has said to his people, to prepare the way of the Lord, that his will may be obeyed. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about those that the direction their life would take when they didn't obey the words of the Lord, and where was their faith, and where was their hope in, because of it, and not having the direction of the Lord in their life because of willful disobedience or not paying attention to it, walking away from it, not listening to what the Lord has said to them, and so. The Lord prepares the way in our life through the revealed word of the Lord and through His Holy Spirit that directs our lives when we proclaim His sovereignty in our lives. Proclaim His sovereignty in our lives. And speaking of Israel in the Scriptures, in Romans, in the first book, second verse, and much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. And we're talking about primarily in the Old Testament, where we would see references many times to those who were around Israel would come to them to inquire of their prophet. And they would know that Israel would prevail in battle and so on because they would know the future. They would, according to their obedience, of course, if Israel was obeying the word of the Lord, that they would be found worthy of the Lord to receive His direction. Their enemies would be given into their hand because they were righteous and the word of the Lord came to them, that they would prevail. You know, we find times where they were, I believe the Assyrians that they were fighting against, and there was just a few of them there that time, and they said, what are we going to do about this? And the prophet that was with them said, let them see what's there for them, basically. And there was a fiery host. That was there. They show that there. They said there be more of us than be of them, and before they were able to see spiritually, they thought they were outnumbered. And the host of the Lord was shown to them that would fight for them, and but in their obedience to His will, and we're going to see that example in our lives today. Same thing for us. The Lord is there for us. He's there for all mankind. But when people withdraw from Him and don't seek His will and don't obey His commandments, that they don't have that direction and don't have that blessing, the hand of blessing in their life when they drift away, you know. I could give you two prophecies today. I give you two prophecies today of a surety and know that both of them would be true according to the circumstances. And one of which is if you do not keep the commandments of the Lord, if you do not walk according to His ways, His statutes, and His gospel, if you don't walk according to His laws and His commandments, that you will not see the kingdom of God. That is a prophecy. And that is according to the future to come to pass, but it takes according to action, according to decision. That we will not see the Lord, we will not see His kingdom, we will not see His blessings. That is a prophecy. Unless we keep his words of truth. Like I say, the other prophecy is that we don't, and we walk away from Him. Especially if we know His words, if we know His commandments, and if we have pledged ourselves to Him being His children, we've been made doubly responsible. And that prophecy is also true. You will not see His kingdom. But if you do keep His commandments, if you do walk according to His will, if you do take and keep His laws, if you do walk according to the Spirit in which He gives, also receiving the blessings all along the way, He said that you shall have eternal life. There are two, one diametrically opposed to the other, isn't it? We keep His commandments or we don't. Both are a prophecy about the future. And so, here we find, of course, the prophet Moses, leader of the people. It is said in the scriptures that he was a type of Christ to them. They depended upon him that much. In Exodus, in the 3rd chapter, in the 10th verse, he says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And there would be signs and wonders. There would be prophecy given unto Pharaoh what was going to come because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And it says, and his heart was hardened. And I believe it was according to Pharaoh's already rebellious and hardened heart that this was allowed to happen. According to his own rebellious nature, according to his own, you know, the Pharaoh was brought up from his youth that he was the rising sun. The sun rose and set over Pharaoh, and that he would, he was God, and he was told that he was God by his own priests, and that was their religion. And so within his own rebellious nature, rejected what they saw there. They thought that even his own magicians could come up to some of those miracles, nigh unto, you might say. But the Lord used Moses, that he'd be sent into Egypt. And he even made a spokesman for him. And until they were brought out of Egypt. The children of Israel, and do you know what kind of a promise was made so that someone would be raised up to help bring Israel out of Egypt? What man received a promise that they would be preserved and taken care of and be his people? By what one man? Abraham. That's right. Abraham. And Abraham was a prophet too. He was even told, and it was prophesied unto him, that they would sojourn in a land that was not years and be afflicted for 400 years and then brought forth. And afterward they would come out with great substance. And that was also true. In Deuteronomy, in the 34th chapter, in the 10th verse, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." And I believe that truly does declare in the Scriptures that Moses saw him face to face. And I believe that he might, was it where he was sitting at the table of the showbread? And it said that he sat across from him and he visited with him as a man speaketh with his friend. I don't know what other way to take it. But I believe that he saw him. I believe that he saw Christ. And it was such, they said, that Moses had got to where that his face shone, and then he had to wear a veil over his face so that the people would not look upon him to see and hope for the grace that were to come. he had to wear a veil over his face so the people couldn't look upon him and gaze and somehow know through that spirit, I would have to believe, for the grace that was to come. Because they still had to accomplish and be within the old law. We all always may speculate why in the Book of Mormon about and how much that they did practice. One thing, well, of course, they didn't have all the temple practices, if you will. And one other article is missing within the people that came to the new land was they weren't Levites. And so how much were sacrificed and how much was done is a good question. Mainly within the commandments of the Lord is what they were to keep according to obedience. And they were keeping the law of Moses, whichever way they kept it, but looking forward to Christ. In 1 Kings 17, 1 through 17. Let's take a turn there, if you would, please. 1 Kings 17. I'd like to talk about Elijah. We were kind of mentioning him a little bit this morning. And they said he was amongst the inhabitants of Gilead. But he was called Elijah the Tishbite. And we hear a lot of the stories, and a lot of our children hear a lot of stories about Elijah and some of the great things that were accomplished through him. Elijah didn't do these things himself. It was caused to happen through him. We must be very careful, you know, that the things that we accomplish in his church, they are not done because of us. They're done because of the Father through Jesus Christ. If there is prophecy spoken in this church, if there are callings that do come, they are not because of that person, although they should be in a condition to receive the word, but it is through the Spirit of Christ. But we find that Ahab had made groves for idol worship of Baal. Baal seemed to be quite common for worship, that and Moloch and the, whichever other false gods. But Ahab had, they said that it wasn't one as wicked as him. He leading the people astray. That's serious business. You know, it's one thing that, you know, you walk away of yourself, you know. But being someone of great power, such as a king, and lead the people astray was great wickedness before the Lord. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Abraham, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Because if you take a look through and see what some of the acts of Ahab were, and especially his wife, you would, and you've all heard the name Jezebel. You may not have heard the name Ahab, but you've heard the word Jezebel, haven't you? The name. And she was pretty famous for a lot of things that people may use that name, you know, calling someone a Jezebel. Well, you look in the scriptures, you'd see why. And anyway, but so that he was to hide because they were certainly going to seek his life. And the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan, shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went according to the word of the Lord, and for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and the flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her. And he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her. And he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that it might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, and neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, as she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so and left in him. And here we find that the Lord restored this young child to health. Now, and I don't want to go into that, but that's true, and it's a beautiful reading there as well, where the Lord had restored the young lady's child, gave life to it once again. But here we find that she stayed within, you know, the commandments of the Lord. Here she was challenged to step into the arms of God in order to be preserved. It's a wonderful challenge and example to us, where we do in our temporal lives, you know, many times with the things that we, you know, we're not caused to be comfortable when we make a sacrifice to the Lord, where we will go do this or do that, take out of our time, take out of our substance, or whatever. Or people think, well, I would rather have done that this today or I had done that today. But given the what about fasting? Fasting is a form of sacrifice of ourselves, that the Lord may recognize our prayers, that we have given something of ourselves, afflicted our temporal body, that it's a, like I said, giving of ourselves, that form of sacrifice, abstaining. And it's not only just from food, it's abstaining from worldly things, you know, coming off into our own place. You might say, as Jesus said, entering into our closet, or into our own garden, if you will, apart from, that we may commune with the Lord and make our requests, give Him our praises on behalf of whatever matter, you know, what you were fasting and praying for, or just to be communing with the Lord in your own place of solitude. The Lord may reveal to you in whatever way, in whatever will for you. But here she was called to step into the arms of faith, because she was certainly faced with a temporal decision, wasn't she? She could have ate the meal, mixed it with the oil. Her and her son said, no, you go on away. We're going to drink our own water. We're going to eat our own bread. You're going to have to go find something else to eat. She could have done that. We could do those type of things too, couldn't we? We could say that we proclaim Christ. Someone mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. We could, people that proclaim Christ, but don't walk the talk, if you will, that don't take and obey and don't do the things that they should do. We see a very example of that. What's going to happen in the last days when the Lord comes, when there's 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. It will show. That will show who's been prepared and who is not. If Jesus Himself said, "Narrow be that path and that gate that leads to life eternal," it tells me that it's going to take some effort. And I have to believe that abiding with the children of Christ, abiding in His congregation with brothers and sisters, abiding in His Word, abiding in His commandments, abiding in His Spirit, is purely the way to go for life. And that will take and make that prophecy in your life of what's going to come to pass. that we can expect because God has promised it. God said it will come to pass. See, here we find that some of the idols, just some of the depiction of some of those idols, of some temporal thing, of a bull or whatever, the head of an animal, and the body of a beast, but the life of the prophet, his life was in his hand to go before a king. You know, we talked about a prophet, the prophet Abinadi this morning, to go before King Noah. Wasn't a good king. Almost turned by the word of the Lord, but his counselors and his priests reviled him up again. King Ahab was kind of such of a guy that he had repented before the Lord, and his own wife turned his heart away from the Lord, and I'm sure his counselors around him too. The Lord had said the one time that Elijah had went to him and told him about his iniquities, and Abraham repented, or Ahab. And the Lord said, look how my servant Ahab humbles himself before me. I will not bring this wickedness upon him in his days. But he did turn away from the Lord. You know, he did the idol worship. He needed to see something very temporal or whatever, even though the Lord manifested in power and authority among them. But to come before such a man and to prophesy against him and his house and his destruction that would come if he did not obey the will of the Lord. We find in 1 Kings, in chapter 18, this is the next chapter over, of course. I'd like to read verses 18 through to 38. And many of us heard, of course, this piece of history. I don't like to use the word story too much. It almost kind of sounds a little bit like fiction. And this did happen. And this is truth. It is in the Word of God. And it came to pass... Actually, I'm going to go on to verse. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. And this is where Ahab saw Elijah, verse 17. And Ahab said unto him, where art he that troubleth Israel? And this is after the rains were coming. And the Lord said, tell him that it was going to that the drought was going to stop. And Ahab told Elijah, are you the one that's causing all this trouble? And he answered, said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I even only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now, of course, Jezebel had slain many prophets of the Lord. This is serious business, you know. The power of the Lord had been known throughout Israel, but yet they would turn away from and follow these false gods, of course. And she cared more for the life of these false prophets that were serving these idols than the prophets of the Lord that were there to guide them and direct them. So she was not a good person. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. But I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto you, the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. There was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped on the altar which was made, and it came to pass at that noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he's a god, for he's either talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey. Peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be awaked. They cried aloud, they cut themselves, the manner of their knives and lancets, until the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer, or any that regarded. As you see, they tried to say something about prophecy, what was going to come to pass. What would they? Oh, this God was going to hear. This was their so-called prophecy. But what did we find out? No voice, no answer, no nothing. And Elijah said unto the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So obviously they had been, their mischief, jumping all over the altar, and they messed up the altar that was constructed for the Lord. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, or Israel, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in the altar, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood, and he said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the wood sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with the altar. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. Lord, He is the God. You know something? There's going to be such a thing that's going to, pretty close, even more catastrophic, it's going to happen in our future yet. When the Lord comes, and Jesus said He'd come as a thief in the night. And now we've been warned, people have been warned that the Lord is coming. And they're even trying to do lying signs and wonders, saying, Where is He? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. And denying that the Lord is even coming today. Now, all such a travesty in this country. There was something that just really sent a chill and broke my heart this past week. I was looking at an article out of Texas. There was a town council meeting. And the Satanists want to give their invocation at this place, prayer, beginning of the meeting. And because all the rest of Christian groups were doing it, and they felt it was their right, and they wanted to give we've gotten such things turned around in this country that we're allowing such a travesty to go on when this country is built upon the gospel of Christ. And they said that we will not do prayer anymore at the town council meeting, and this is the way they could keep the Satanists from giving their invocation at this meeting. And I see, and there's 2 pictures. One of them shows some lady that had black and gray all over painted on her face, and she had 2 ram's horns coming out like this out of her head. My goodness. And the other one shows this fellow holding up his sign, the defiant statement of Satan himself, and it says, It's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. You people have no idea. You have no idea what's in front of you. None. They have been deceived. They have been promised something by this so-called angel of light, Satan himself, Lucifer, that they would somehow have this grand party somewhere, somehow. Instead, it will be eternal separation. There's even talking about a lake of fire, talking about weeping and wailing and all those things. He will pull his rug out from underneath them at the very last, desert them, and they will be eternally dead. They have no idea. They have no idea. But here they are trying to defy God. And to it just was very disheartening to me to witness that took place. But you know, once again, it's been throughout time where the devil's tried to oppose and even oppose the word of the Lord and try to deceive, such as he did. There's two or three antichrists in the Book of Mormon. It was Korihor that said that the devil had appeared to him as an angel of light. Tell him to go after these people. They have gone astray after an unknown God. And this is the same lie coming about today. The Book of Mormon says about our day, it says that the devil shall say that I am no devil because there is none. Because there is none. Those lying wonders, if you will. That's a part of his going about roaring as a lion, his deception to deceive the children of men. Many are being taken in hook, line, and sinker. You know, with all the lures that he has come up with. Here we find where the Lord is speaking to Elijah. And he's also, I would like to take a go, if you will, to the 19th chapter. Just like to read verses 1 through 16 quickly here. That after the time that those prophets, they were of Baal, taken and they were slain for their iniquity, for their transgression, for all they had done to mislead the people and to turn their heart away from the Lord that they were disposed of, if you will. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the God do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he rose and he went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, left his servant there, and he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down unto a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." We find a real graphic representation of what it was like to be a prophet of the Lord. You know, people didn't like hearing the things that you were telling them many, many times when they didn't want to hear the word of the Lord. You know, and as we're reading through the Book of Mormon, we see the same thing. Same thing that happened to Abinadi. They didn't want to hear that. And of course, he did. He suffered death by fire, Abinadi did. And so, as he lay and he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him to arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came to him the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." He arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of the meat 40 days, 40 nights, into Horeb, the mount of God. It's the same mountain that Moses went up into and received the laws. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him and said him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passeth by in a great and strong wind, and rent the mountains and brake in pieces and rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, I have been very, very jealous for the Lord God of heaven, of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. We can have a lot of the same disgust and the same type of attitude toward all we see in the news today, can't we? We see a lot of things going on but there's still, as the Lord tells him, many faithful. The Lord said unto him, Go return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall be anointed to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, okay, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy rule. So he's going to even anoint the prophet that will come after him. And so I just wanted to... But here we find that after all that the magnificence of the Lord had manifested before him, he spoke to him in a still small voice. You know, and he still speaks today. He still speaks to us in a still small voice, leading and teaching and directing, moving by his Spirit, who would do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Here we find Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11. Then he tells that we won't particularly go there, but he tells him that there need to be a watchman upon the wall. And let him declare what he sees. He's talking about I'll tell you what. Let's go there for just a moment. Let's go to Ezekiel in the 33rd chapter. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, then when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall be delivered of his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. If they had warned the people and done according to the word of the Lord in obedience, then they're not held accountable. There's a scripture for you and I. If we know to do good and do it not, to us it is sin. If we know to do good and do it not. And so, we find we found those that tried to disobey the word of the Lord, don't we? What happened to Jonah? Didn't want it. He could have lost his life there in the sea. What happened to Balaam as he tried to prophesy according to prophet? And there was the riding on his donkey, and there was the angel of the Lord with a sword in his hand. And he didn't see the angel, but the donkey did, and tried to weave him out of the way. And the angel told him, he said, if the donkey hadn't seen me and you'd kept coming, I would have surely had slain you. And as he said, when the donkey spoke up and said, Why did you do this to me? You know, I was just trying to be your donkey, and just basically trying to save his life. You know, we find in Jeremiah 23:28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? In order to be able to speak out amongst these things, the thing that is no profit, the chaff, and the wheat that is to be kept for profit, and that is the word of the Lord. Let him speak. You know, there are sometimes, you know, we, as God's children, we need to speak out the word, to say that which is a profit to help someone else. But as we were speaking this morning too, we can know many facts and we can know many truths, but it takes prayer to know, and the Lord's Spirit to know how to say something that will be received. That it's not like a hammer to someone else, but a balm, a healing balm to the weary. We find in Hebrews 1:1-2. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, to whom he made the worlds. And he spoke in us in the gospel of Christ. And this is the spirit of revealment, of revelation, and of prophecy, that if you will heed the words of Christ, that this is what you will receive, the gift of eternal life. And if you do not heed the words of Christ, it will not be well at judgment day. Those two prophecies I was talking to you about. The prophecy of Christ. In 2 Nephi 11:5, wherefore hearken, O my people, who are of the house of Israel, and give ear to my words. For because that the words of Isaiah are not plain unto you, nevertheless they are plain to all that are filled with the spirit of prophecy, the revealment through the Spirit of the Lord to understanding what the word of the Lord is there for you. What it is, what the truth of it is. But to pray that as we would read, that is revealed to us what the truth is. Because many things in there can be a little bit difficult to understand. What about in the book of Revelation? There are many things in there that I believe that they're still sealed. But they will be coming forth to knowledge. We can ponder them, and we can pray over them and search them. But there are things I believe they're not going to be known in their fullness until they transpire. Here we find Revelations 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, the revealment of the Father and the Son through his Holy Spirit. The testimony of Jesus, you knowing who he is, living according to and deciding and worshiping faithfulness through the Spirit, as he talks about in the book of John, and I believe it was the 14th chapter, that we would come make our abode with him. And this is the Father and the Son making their abode with you. In Jacob, in the 5th chapter and 19th verse, behold, I say unto you that none of the prophets have written nor prophesied, save they have spoken concerning this Christ. I believe that the canon of books that are still available, the words of prophets that we don't have yet, are almost innumerable. But they're out there. But he says they haven't prophesied, save they have spoken concerning this Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9-16, tells us that they're revealed by his Holy Spirit, the deep things of God, that we may know that these mysteries of God. Page 344 is one other thing. At 344 in your Book of Mormon, talks about the mysteries of God, knowing them in full. But 1 Corinthians 2, 9-16 is very precious. The things prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2, 3-11 talks about the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. Are these not spiritual, powerful things? Absolutely. But as we were reading this morning, they're given by the gift and power of Christ. We were talking about the gifts of God, weren't we? In the Book of Mormon. A manifestation of the Spirit. And according to the children of men, and as long as time shall stand. But must be according to faith. And we're in trouble if we do not live and worship in faith and in spirit and in truth. we find in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of power may be of God and not of us. The temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Spirit, you and I. A treasure in an earthen vessel. That light to shine out of darkness. We had the opportunity to know, to declare, and so on, the same things Moses needed to have a veil over his face over for. Remember, Moses did see him face to face. But you have the manifestation of his spirit being a new creature created in Christ Jesus. And to declare the same things that Moses knew. In 2 Peter 2 and 9, But ye are a chosen generation, and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a peculiar people. You are declaring his praises, his goodness, and his power, and the power through the message of salvation. We are called into that holy work, each of us, to witness and to show an example as an oracle of God, if you will. Talking and behaving spiritually. God's people are peculiar, spiritually driven, blessed people, as it talks about in Titus 2, 13 and 14. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Because we know. We know what it should be about. We know and decide and act according to the Holy Spirit of God. Others should be able to witness manifestation and the joy of Christ in us, and the gifts and power and direction that works in the lives of a blessed people that keep his commands. It's like the prophets of old declared the word of the Lord to those who were about them and so on, that others should be able to witness the manifestation and the joy in the children of Christ, knowing that his power is at work, that his love has changed them, that they are different, that they have a direction in their life, and they live according to a hope and a faith that is beyond them. They serve a God that is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-blessed. The Church of Christ may not have the office of prophet. We do believe in the spirit of prophecy because God does not change. We believe in the spirit of prophecy. I believe that we are going to be, there's going to be warnings coming, direction coming, blessings coming. We believe that. We know it to be true. If it weren't for the spirit of prophecy, I wouldn't be standing behind this desk teaching. I would not be up here doing this because I would not have that authority. But by the spirit of the revealed word, that God intended for me to do this. The same way with our dear brother that served for many, many years. He would not have stood behind the pulpit, but by the spirit of prophecy and revelation that told him what he was to do as well. And then his life would take a different course at that point and juncture because of the revealed word of God. And this is what we believe in the Church of Christ. Because in Hebrews 13:8, it does say that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. And we will see those things be in his church. Isaiah 29, when you talk to someone about the Book of Mormon, it talks about that, that in this book would be a revelation from God. The Book of Mormon, a revelation from God. And that's how we have it, but by prophecy and revelation. Because that's why many may reject it, because they think that all stopped back with the original disciples. That he said all he's going to say, and he isn't going to say anymore. And they're teaching a changing God. And we see within the community today in many articles of many things that are coming to pass, how things are changing out there for them within man's ideas, in man's direction, to change God Himself if they could. Even to those that would teach you there is no God, try to teach you. But God is still revealing His words. And so we're looking forward to even to more of His word. We're looking for more of His direction, His will, and His blessing to His people that believe that He does not change. And so I thank you for your prayers and for your attention this morning and for your fellowship.